studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz. You're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run.
Welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news tonight, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and folks have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio. It's activist radio, and I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tree set or a tripod, or locked down in that dragon at the road blockade. If you have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please keep that pencil and paper handy and listen for the contact information later on in the show. We're going to start off with announcements here. Coming up is the International Strategy Conference on Protecting Global Forests Within a World Trade Environment. November 23rd, 24th, and 25th is the third International Temperate Forest Conference being held in Wellington in the islands of New Zealand. The focus of this conference will be strategy and networking with emphasis on sharing campaign experience, developing proposals for action, and establishing better coordination. The conference will be for campaigners active on environmental, indigenous, and social justice free trade issues, as there are many overlapping areas of campaign interest, but forest campaigns will be the primary focus. Agenda items include WTO and trade agreements in general, tariff liberalization, non-tariff measures, corporate expansion into the Southern Hemisphere, corporate policies and comparisons such as Timberland's West Coast in New Zealand and Trillium Savia in Tierra del Fuego, threats to indigenous sovereignty and community by trade liberalization, and indigenous responses, genetically engineered trees, plantations, and carbon credits, TRIPS, and intellectual property rights, biosecurity issues of liberalized trade, and alternative economic instruments such as eco-labeling. If you want more information about this, on the November 23rd, 24th, and 25th in Wellington, New Zealand, contact Garrick Martin. His phone number is 640-328-8852. And for those of you in the United States, there's a 011 in front of that anyway. Let's give the whole thing again, 011-640-328-8852. Or you can send email to Garrick, G-A-R-R-I-C-K, dot Martin, at actrix, A-C-T-R-I-X, dot G-E-N, dot N-Z. And, of course, you can always visit their webpage, www.nfa.org.nz/HUI/. And Target the Gap on Buy Nothing Day. Here in the San Francisco Bay Area, many of the activists participating in the various Gap campaigns, Save the Redwoods, Boycott the Gap Sweatshop campaign, Global Exchange, the Gap Vigil, all intend to demo against the Gap big time on Buy Nothing Day. That is the day after Thanksgiving, November 24th. A really fun Christo-type landscape Gap action involving a gigantic clothesline, perhaps a mile or longer, that activists ceremoniously unfurl and run through the city, say around Union Square. It sounds like they're going to have a whole lot of fun. Bring something to put on the clothesline, like a t-shirt or sewed-up pictures of sewing machines, redwood trees, or the like. There'll, of course, be leafleting on one-on-one with shoppers. Again, that's November 24th at the Gap on Union Square in San Francisco. There are other Solidarity Gap actions on Buy Nothing Day. For more information in the Bay Area, contact Chalice, C-H-A-L-I-C-E, at WCO.com or you can call 415-317-924. That's chalice at WCO.com or 415-731-7924. And RangeNet 2000 is coming up at the Flamingo in Reno, Nevada, November 28th and 29th, and they will be looking at the proposition that as we enter the 21st century, the commercial production of domestic livestock is no longer an appropriate use of the public lands that make up America's natural heritage. Featured presentations include a review of the BLM's progress in implementing range reform, Is There Any? By Kathy Carlson, Why the Taylor Act Should Be Repealed by George Cameron Coggins, Cows vs. Condos by George Werthner, The Western Range Revisited by Deborah Donahue, and Science Under Siege by Todd Wilkinson. If you would like more information, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to RangeNet 2000, PMB 251, 2850 Southwest Cedar Hills Boulevard, Beaverton, Oregon, 97005, or you could go to the web at www.rangenet.org/rn2k. Once again, the snail mail address, RangeNet 2000, PMB 251, 2850 Southwest Cedar Hills Boulevard, Beaverton, Oregon, 97005. And the Wilderness Association Convention of Montana is December 1st and 2nd, their 42nd annual convention at Great Falls, Montana. Programs will focus on Montana's vast landscapes of wild prairies, grasslands, and the Missouri River Breaks country. For more information, contact Susan Bryan at 406-443-7350. That's 406-443-7350. Or S. Bryan, S-B-R-Y-A-N, at wildmontana.org. That's the Montana Wilderness Association Convention, December 1st and 2nd in Great Falls, Montana. Moving to our tree sit updates, current tree sits in the West include, but are not limited to, the following: Eagle Creek in the Mount Hood National Forest, Fall Creek in the Clark Timber Sale in Oregon, North Windberry in the Willamette National Forest, the Snog tree sit in the Umpqua National Forest, and the Matol tree sit and continuing actions, and we'll have more information about those right now. A group of environmental activists calling itself the Matol Forest Defenders set out last Friday to halt the logging of the controversial Timber Harvest Plan 99-475 in the Matol River watershed. We believe the approval of the Maxam Pacific Timbers THP 475 is not only illegal, but a continuation of a highly destructive practice for the environment, community, and economy, the activists said in their statement. They plan nonviolent direct action, including tree sits, to halt the logging in the area. The plan would clear-cut almost 50 acres of some of the last old-growth Douglas fir forest in California instead of using less damaging harvest methods such as selective cuts. The activists say the Matol watershed is one of the most geologically unstable and seismically active areas in the state of California. The timber harvest plan proposes to cut on steep slopes and above several current slide areas, adding to the potential of increased landslides, the activists say. The plan threatens water quality on the Matol River, which contains endangered coho and Chinook salmon and steelhead trout. Less than 5% of the original old-growth forest remains in the Matol River watershed, of which the majority of the unprotected stands are owned by Maxam Pacific Lumber. Maxam Pacific Lumber continues to log in a boom and bust manner that puts our timber workers at risk in an economy where jobs are scarce, the activists say. Harvest in a sustainable manner would allow for healthy forest and yield timber for the future. Unfortunately, Maxam Pacific Lumber has a long history of breaking the law, having racked up over 300 violations, those of the California Department of Forestry rules. And here's the update. Just a couple of days ago, logging crews have left the area, having felled only one tree all day long. Humboldt County Police stayed inside the timber harvest plan, standing by the fallers and not allowing the protesters to get close enough to talk to them. Two protesters were pepper sprayed when they approached the fallers, and police, no arrests were made. However, four backpacks were confiscated, leaving those activists without their sleeping bags and warm clothes, 12 miles from any county road and within the snow level. Logging and protests are assumed to be continuing. The Matol Forest Defenders are in desperate need of warm clothes and gear, money, and people. If you can help, your help is needed now. Call 707-441-3838. That's 707-441-3838. And let them know what you can do to help. You can visit their webpage, www.asis.com/tildecoho/matoledefense, MATTOLEDEFENCE, all one word, /index.html. You don't have to put that part in. Just www.asis.com/tildecoho/matoledefense, and you'll be there. Take Uncle Dennis's word for it. Here we have the Buffalo Field Campaign update. Well, the elections went poorly for the Buffalo. Montana's new governor will be Judy Martz, Mark Recasso's current lieutenant governor. If Bush wins for president, our old Buffalo-killing governor could take over the Department of the Interior and control the national parks. That sounds like a bummer. But in the real world, here on the ground, our latest field recon shows over 100 buffalo are 3 miles or less from the Montana border. The DOL, that's Department of Livestock, are estimating the buffalo herd at 3,200. That is 200 more than any of the FEIS's arbitrary alternatives allow. We must stand stronger than ever and not give up. It is, after all, our job to fight for their rights. Our commitment will not change. We are here with the buffalo every day. Keep us in your hearts and prayers and never give up the fight to save the buffalo. We are in need of at least 2 16- or 18-foot teepees. If anyone can help us, please let us know, as the snow is getting deep fast with the buffalo. Mike, a little P.S. here. Feel free to call Judy Martz, the current governor-elect, and let her know, since you will be talking to her about the buffalo for a while. Let her know your concerns and contact her via the governor's office. Number there is 406-444-3111. That's 406-444-3111. And here's their wish list. The cold weather is coming. I don't think we'll see the ground again until spring. There are a few supplies we could use for volunteers, and your donations are tax deductible. What we really need, that's what they really, really, really need, folks, are warm backcountry style cross-country ski boots. I'm not talking about the flimsy little day touring type cross-country boots, but backcountry padded, insulated cross-country ski boots, either the clip-in or the Nordic Norm style. They don't have any size 12s or 13s, but all sizes are needed. Snow boots, they need those too. We have tons of liners for all sizes, but not enough boots to fill them up. We could mostly use size 5 to size 11 in men's. It would be really great if we could get sorrels or lacrosses, but not the steel-shanked kind. They also need woolies, ex-army woolen pants. There seems to be a surplus of leftover new German or Russian wool pants from World War II that are sold at secondhand thrift or Army-Navy stores, even used. We need smalls or mediums, but any size would help out. And here's the volunteer information for this year. We will only be able to accept volunteers on the 1st and the 15th of the month, so don't show up early or late. Show up on the 1st or the 15th. This ensures that all volunteers for the Buffalo Field Campaign will get the proper orientation. It saves us money on gas. We ask that volunteers can dedicate at least a minimum of 2 weeks. We're asking this because it gives us time to train you and gives you time to become climatized to Montana. That means time for you to learn how to get cold. We also have a new dog policy. Basically, no new dogs at all. Basically, because of past problems and landlord conflicts, we can now not let any new volunteers bring their dogs. We love dogs here and have no personal problems with dogs, but we are in a bind. This cabin is the only home we have, and if we lose it, we have no place to go. So if you come here with your dog, you will be asked to leave. And please contact them before coming, and they'll chat over the all the things to do with you. Thanks, Tyler. Volunteer contact, and you can get in touch with him at www.wildrockies.org/buffalo and get the actual email address off of there. Unfortunately, they was forwarded to me, so I don't have their email address. Here is the White Buffalo news from the Buffalo Field Campaign. Spirit, a new female white buffalo, was born approximately May 1st. No humans were present at her birth, and therefore it is assumed to be a natural one. Spirit is currently living with her mother and father in the same field. Both are alive and well and living in a small group of other buffalo. This is a very important sign, not only to our people, but to all people and all nations everywhere. This is the seventh, and it comes in times of great importance. I will pray on this for full understanding. This is contributed by Chief Arvel Looking Horse, 19th generation keeper of the sacred white buffalo pipe. And in a second quote, she is very far from any road. Hardly anyone has seen her, but maybe 10 people. We have just been enjoying her because she is so gentle, a friend of spirit. So that's good news from the Buffalo Field Campaign. And once again, you can contact them through www.wildrockies.org/buffalo, and they'll have their email address there for you. And last Friday morning at around 5 a.m., two activists from Forest Action Network climbed trees outside the home of Interfor chairman and owner. The activists, dressed as salmon and bear, were there to protest Interfor's continuing destruction of ancient rainforest from the Alajo Valley to the Great Bear Rainforest. An urban clearcut was set up in his driveway, and posters of corporate criminal Souter added a nice touch to the metal gates guarding his Gorgonian mansion, or Georgian mansion, I guess. Salmon and bear spent the day enjoying the neighborhood from their perches and climbed back down in the late afternoon to get some grub. Media interest was high and resulted in lots of TV coverage, a piece and a photo in the Globe and Mail, and a lead story in the CBC Almanac. The forest minister has yet to comment. If you want to see pictures of the event, go to www.fanweb.org/actionvan2000/Souder, S-A-U-D-E-R. That's www.fanweb.org/actionvan2000, and I'm sure they'll have a link to it there. Moving to India, in a story by Peter Popham in Delhi, threatened villagers lose fight to halt dam. A huge dam regarded as a symbol of the environmental, political, and cultural calamity was given a go-ahead by a majority decision of the India's Supreme Court. The giant Sardar Sarovar Dam on the Narmada River in Gujarat has been stuck 40 meters short of its intended height of 138 meters since environmental activists representing the tens of thousands whom the dam will displace lodged a case against the authorities in 1994. Yesterday in Delhi, Justices Kirpal and Arnand swept aside objections and directed that the dam should be completed as quickly as possible. The Sardar Sarovar Dam has been dogged by controversy since the outset, and in 1993 the World Bank withdrew funding after a fierce campaign by the dam's opponents. The key weakness of the project, as of other big dams on the river, is a failure to provide adequate rehabilitation and resettlement programs for the tens of thousands of peoples whose land will be inundated. In Madhya Pradesh, the chief minister, Dijvijay Singh, has admitted that there is no land available for the people affected, and the published relocation and rehabilitation plans are exposed as frauds. And in further news, recently over 1,000 environmental protesters stormed police barricades in New Delhi and marched up to the offices of the World Bank demanding they be allowed to meet with visiting bank president James Wolfensohn. Walking nearly 9 kilometers in New Delhi to the World Bank's offices, protesters shouted slogans against Global Project Lender and demanded that it quit India. The World Bank has come under fire during the visit of President Wolfensohn to India after the multinational lending agency seemed to change its stance on the dam project it had earlier declined to support. World Bank staffers said Wolfensohn was extremely busy with meetings, but protesters said they would wait for him if necessary for days, blocking traffic in the national capital. And in a communique received from the Earth Liberation Front, in the early morning hours of November 11th, members of the Earth Liberation Front paid a visit to the construction sites off of Whiskey Road in Coram, Long Island, New York. This has been the third hit on the construction site and the worst yet. Several houses were spray-painted extensively and had their windows shattered. We hear elves are waging an unending war against urban sprawl and will fight to our last breath to protect our environment from greedy corporate interests, signed the Earth Liberation Front. And in a little longer story, in their third effort to preserve the Coram's fragile wetland habitat of the threatened blue heron, night heron, and painted turtle, members of the Earth Liberation Front smashed out windows and spray-painted the erected structures of a clear-cut development site. This is ELF's third and strongest attack on the development, claims the ELF communique I previously read. Preceding this attack, members of the Earth Liberation Front pulled up survey stakes, setting back clear-cutting, destroyed machinery associated with clear-cutting and development, and have shattered windows. Urban sprawl has undoubtedly served to alter nearly 90% of Long Island's habitats, either by physically removing them, paving them, or polluting them with toxic man-made materials, making them either undesirable or unsustainable for most species. Wildlife extinction rates are increasing exponentially, and urban sprawl helps to drive species from homes and send them in search of substance. The development off of Whiskey Road in Coram was once state-protected land, which has now fallen into the hands of money-driven developers. Roughly an estimated 500-plus acres have been clear-cut. It is unknown as yet if more land is planned to be cut or if cutting is now come to a close. Despite either outcome, the ELF has made it clear that these developers have chosen to exploit this fragile habitat, have to deal with the onslaught of unending underground attacks for their mistakes. To the heroes who have performed these brave acts, our hearts are always with you. And the Staples store in Eugene has a new logo, or at least did for a little while, and two were arrested. At high noon November 15th, a banner was unfurled from the roof of Eugene Staples store reading, "Stumps, your old growth forests, we've got that." While 30 protesters in the parking lot handed out flyers and postcards explaining the wasteful use of virgin fiber and old-growth wood in Staples products, stickers magically appeared in the store identifying products that came from public lands or contained old-growth fiber. Two activists kept the banner above the store marquee for several hours before six squad cars of Eugene's finest gained access to the roof and took Pat and George to the Lane County lockup. The banner was seized as evidence. Make your voices heard. Call or fax Staples CEO Tom Stemberg. His direct extension is 508-253-7143. That's 508-253-7143. If you want the main number at corporate headquarters, 508-253-5000. And, of course, their customer service number is 1-800-3-STAPLES. And you can figure out what to do with that. The pulp and paper industry is the single largest industrial wood consumer in the U.S. and around the world. All right, we have a communique here from Andy Stepanian. Hi, my name is Andy Stepanian. I've been involved in the Animal Defense League for some time now. I helped organize in New York City and then chose to revitalize the animal rights community on Long Island by starting the Long Island chapter of the ADL. Since its beginning in February of 1999, I have seen so many beautiful things happen and have seen so many people blossom into dedicated activists. As many of you know, I was arrested on February 3rd of this year and later indicted and charged with crimes related to the ALF by a state grand jury. Through a lengthy trial, the outcome was that I was found guilty by a jury of my peers. My sentencing is Friday, November 17th at 9 a.m. at the Riverhead Superior Courthouse. I am facing imprisonment of 2.5 years to 7 years in jail. It is unlikely I will get such a stiff sentence, but jail time is becoming more apparent for me. I am writing this to you not to ask for help, but rather to assure you that they, the police, FBI, and COINTELPRO, want you to be frightened by what is happening to me. Their goal is to scare each activist on Long Island by making an example of me to send me to prison. If you allow them to scare you, then you have started. They have started winning. They prey on fear and weakness in activist collectives. My motivation for writing this is not to ask for moral support. I am really stubborn about things like that, but rather to ask you to attend my court date this Friday because I have been informed that members of the fur trade are going to oversee my sentence. Each furrier that has a vested interest in my case, each FBI agent, each investigator, in all probability will be there. So it is our duty to counteract their presence by providing a large activist attendance. The Sandy Parker reports, a magazine sent to furriers, has published when my sentence date will be. Furriers at Long Island fur shops have notified ADL members that they will be there to watch me fry, and the investigators and DAs will be in attendance to monitor this high-profile case. We, the ADL, have proposed that we return to them the same level of harassment they use against us. If they treat us like criminals, then we have the duty to treat them like the criminals that they are. The furriers are the ones who slaughtered 40 million creatures for their own sadistic perversion and greed. The police are the ones offering protection to these businesses and arresting peaceful protesters who challenge this murder. And the FBI and DA's offices are spearheading a campaign to dissolve the animal rights movement. All of them have the blood of innocents on their hands. For each investigation, there will be a subsequent counter-investigation into the departments and businesses beginning at my court date. Photos will be taken of each DA, each furrier, each investigator, and each police officer who is in attendance. We will show them that we will not back down, and we will do more than hold our ground. We will advance. Each photo will be placed on the web to assure the safety of activists. Everyone should know what these people look like so they can be avoided. In addition, all investigative operations will be posted on the web to assure the security of all our civil rights. Lastly, I will appeal and win. They will see we are not scared, and they will not back down. And they will back down, excuse me. Signed, Andy Stepanian. And I'm sorry for the late notice on that, but unfortunately we just got it, so it gets on the news as soon as I get it. All right, we're going to take a little musical break here, and let my voice recoup for a little bit. We're going to listen to a Daryl Cherney tune. This one's called El Pio, and it's off Daryl Cherney's cassette called Timber.
He came from the clear-cut hills of Roma to rape the redwoods of Sonoma. He could clear-cut forests like no other. He says he learned it from his and his mother, El Pio. What have you done to Mendocino? Now El Pio took his order straight from the divinity, who said to him, El Pio, thou shalt log to infinity. Then El Pio gets this great idea, and he says, aha! I will move my entire milling operation down to Baja! What have you done to Mendocino? Then one day he gets a phone call from his brother, GPO, who says to him, I think I'm down to my last trio. But MPO says, no problem, just scraping the forest floor. Bind it up, glue it back together, make a wafer bar. L-P-O. What have you done to Mendocino? Concerno. He finds out that both his feller bunchers have been sternoed, and reality hits him like some bad a dreamer. When they find the note that says, no compromise, Jera Prima.
And Earth First Radio will be right back.